enormous, although the Mackenzie Valley pipeline is receding on one side, the Alaska pipeline is being built on the other. We are really, really in a regional economy which is affected by those kinds of things. People are making decisions for us all the time, all over the place. We've always assumed that they sort of, that we can't do anything about that, it's over there, there's no way to contact. It is contacting us all the time. I mean, all you gotta do is sit with travel lodge for 20 minutes and see what goes in and out of the door to find out what's going on. We have got to change our mind about the fact that we're isolated and start communicating back down that pipeline direction. Or we're not gonna have any control whatsoever over how our style of life changes. So I can see that we may have 10 years of grace in order to learn some more of the rules. I hope.
Good flow.
That's a hard act to follow. I didn't know I was going to be asked this question. If I had known, there's nothing I could have done to be prepared for it. I don't know how to forecast development for the next 10 years, except at my own level, and my own level is people. And it seems to me that what you're saying, if I'm hearing right, is that if we stop any kind of industrial expansion or growth tomorrow, our population is still going to increase because people will want to come to a place like that. So whether you develop economically and in an industrial way, or whether you just develop through growth with the addition of people who like this way of life, you are still going to grow. So your population is going to increase willy-nilly. I'm convinced, this is one study I would like to commission to have somebody do tomorrow, and that is find out in the last 100 people who arrived here, what was the reason for coming? Did they come to work at an ordinary job here, or did they come because of the extra attractions we have here, which we all say because of which? Anyway, the point is, I think you would find it's pretty well 50-50, and you people, some of you, are those new people who are coming here because of those attractions, not because of the employment or the industrial development. So we're still going to have new people, and maybe they're better people. But I think the responsibility is yours to say that because we have these attractions here, they must be preserved. I think it's your responsibility. You're telling me that there are ways to assess in dollars and cents environmental values. You are telling me there are ways to put a commercial value on resources here of wildlife, scenery, freedom. Now, put up or shut up. If there is a way to do this, you should be doing it in this society. You should be saying, so many moose, so many salmon, so many grayling, so many acres of space for man are worth so many jobs or so many resources available for energy. There's got to be somebody who puts that down on the scale. You cannot expect the average uninformed person to be able to make a decision without something to measure it by. And unfortunately, most of us have been reared and conditioned to measure values in dollars and cents. I'm sorry, but that's true. And if you say, okay, is it a matter of eating or a matter of admiring the sunset, they think that's the choice, and it isn't. You can have both. I don't know what the development's going to be in the next 10 years. I just hope that the people who are going to flood in here, and they are, will keep us on a level base about what our chief values are.
I'd like to pick you up on a few of those points, though. First off, I agree with you that we have been conditioned to think in terms of dollars. I do not agree with you that that is the way to think in terms of when it comes to these resources. It's not a quantitative thing, it's strictly a qualitative thing. That's number one. And number two is, we've got an area bigger than France, so obviously we can squeeze a few more people in. But what I'm more concerned about is how that's happening. Now, when it comes to dams and electric heating, and we're talking about flooding 20 acres of land or something like that for every person we add to the territory, and doing things, weird things like that, plus squeezing everybody into cities, which is a very different kind of lifestyle than a lot of people in the Yukon live, and plus having people work indoors in a factory, in a production line, or in a smelter. That's extremely different from other boats, which a lot of people, and I think as Davis brought this out, this is an incredible resource we have here, just the existence of the Yukon without too much else being in it is bringing a lot of people up here who, in terms of smelters, in terms of working indoors and assembly lines, etc., etc., could do that where they are.
But
so they're sacrificing to come up here. So what I'm saying is there is only 0.1% of the population of Canada up here right now, and another 0.1% could double our population. But they could be doing one of two different things, opposite ends of the scale. And one is developing it the way the Sigma report outlines it, in terms of a highly consumptive thing, in terms of an extremely different lifestyle where we're working and living in cities and working in factories, and in terms of where we are abusing the land, scarring it up, flooding it, and destroying it. Or it could be developed along the lines of our natural resources, and bolstering up tourism, etc., which is not nearly as harmful to the environment, and which a much, much higher percentage of the money invested in the state in this territory. It's a much better sort of occupation for the Yukon to develop. So to me, it's a qualitative thing. I think 20,000 people could be squeezed into the Yukon, and I'd probably never see them if they were strung out all over the bush. But if they're all stuck in Whitehorse, working at the smelter, we've got a completely different kind of city.
No, Carmack is going to get that.
I want to pick up a comment made earlier about if we're not careful, we're going to see all these new faces here. Well, I'm looking at people in this audience who were born here and who've watched an awful lot of our new faces come. And I'm looking at C.B. Taylor, who sat here when there were Whitehorse Rapids, and when Robert, certainly not when you were here, but the same rapids beside which Robert Service sat and scrawled his first verses. And he's seen that pass. And it wasn't a terrible catastrophe for Charlie, I don't think, when Schwatka Lake was formed, was it?
No.
And none of us really are too upset when we look at it now. And the population of Whitehorse was around 300 and it's now 13,000. I don't have to admit, I'm not going to admit, that every bit of development is going to be a traumatically painful experience for me. I don't think it has been for everybody here, and it doesn't have to be in the future.
Okay, thank you.
It should be done orderly.
Any questions quickly from the audience? Because we've got one more question.
You were talking about the loss of fish. They built a flood control dam in my home district in Ontario, and they filled it with fish, and they increased in fish tremendously.
Well, except I think you can't fill lakes with migrating salmon because they've got nowhere to migrate to, so they die. You know, we've got this resource in Yukon of migrating salmon.
We have white fish is just as good as salmon, as far as I'm
concerned. There's one question that I don't feel has been answered to my satisfaction anyway. I understood that we have an immediate need for electricity, that last winter when they were telling us what to do when the lights went out, that was a problem we had to face now. And we're talking about things happening in the distant future, at least relatively distant. What's going to happen? What does this group want to see happen with the power that the power needs now?
Power needs now.
And the problem last winter was associated with the fact that the Ajax project was not online. I would assume that now that the Ajax project is coming online, that next winter shouldn't see those problems.
I didn't understand that. I thought that wasn't the case.
Rob, sorry.
No, really, I think Garth has said it there. Well, one of the things is, again, the contract, and NCPC is obliged to supply power to Anvil. And if they don't supply that power, they're in their default of contract and can be hauled into court. So it means that Anvil is another customer, just the same as you or I are, ultimately with the power. And what I'd like to see, if things do get tight and there is some kind of a problem, and it's 60 below and we need the power, and it's been off for 2 hours and the house is getting cold, that somebody just pull the switch on Anvil. Sorry.
But are those the actual plans? Is that what NCPC plans to do? Or are we talking in terms of the next 3 or 4 years, or are we talking in terms of 30 or 40 years?
Well, the power is there. When HVAC comes on, there should be no problem as far as supply, though I had heard rumors that the transformer capacities of the plant out here aren't going to be big enough or something like this, but that's probably the rumor. So. Yes?
Sigma made or seemed to pick up very little input from the people. Now, I challenged this panel and this group with had 5 sessions to come to Sigma, and maybe you already have, the recommendations as to the next power project, if you want to talk. That was the man for Tufts, say something like, it has to be a small one, maybe cool at the right place. I've listened to environmentalists who don't wish to be named, saying that you're looking at the next site from an environmental standpoint. 5 fingers is the only place up to 150 megawatt site. I'd like this group, this panel, challenges by tonight to come up with some constructive criticism and some constructive recommendations for the Sigma group and NCPC to heed to in their next series of talks.
Okay, fine. Actually, that was the last question. What should we do? You know, where do we go from here? We've had these seminars, and we've all gained a lot, I'm sure. But you know, what do we do individually? What do we do as a group? How do we? What happens next? And have you had some thoughts on that?
Yeah.
And then perhaps we can have some audience participation.
Well, I think that everybody will probably want to respond to Mr. Mooney. First thing, Mr. Mooney, is that the brochure that came out in December is said on the back, come and participate, make your choice. Remember, pick the dam you want. And I voiced my objective at that time. I still say the same thing. I haven't changed. We don't want to pick an alternative between dams. We don't want a dam. I don't want a dam. So, specific recommendations. If ASARCO or whoever comes to you,
Mr. Chairman, are you speaking for the group, or are you speaking?
I'm speaking for myself and as a member of the panel.
I'd like to hear the group.
Okay.
You mean the audience?
Right.
Okay. Fine. Anybody?
Panel and the audience.
Well, we were having one of the panel member actually speaking.
I think this is a bit unfair. I really think it should go through the panel, and then you know, it's.
I'm quite satisfied to hear the panel.
Well, okay, I can wrap it up in about 2 minutes. If ASARCO comes to you wanting power from Minto, say no, we can't supply it. Or, if you want to put a rate to it, then charge them a rate that's equivalent to them buying your own 5 megawatt diesel and putting it in there. That's my only recommendation.
That's your recommendation.
That's it.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Okay, Richard, what do you see? What should we do?
Well, I'd like to take Mr. Mooney up on his comment as well, and I talked about this on Monday, is that I may be mistaken, but if there's no, in that report, outright mention in the body of the report, in the needed report, of information gleaned from the meetings that Sigma held, there is something like half a dozen pages, more or less appended to about the third way into the report, as
their summary of what the meetings were all about. A very capsulized group of comments, not analyzed in any meaningful way, you know, that you could get a handle on what the opinions of the UConners were. So, and besides that, the report, the pamphlet, as Rob just said, and they talked about on Monday, was titled like something like Choosing the Next Site. Okay, fine. Besides the fact that it doesn't need the alternative to choose no site, it implies that we came to this meeting to do some choosing. But in the meat of that, in that Sigma report, when they talk about these public meetings, it was said information meetings, period. In other words, Sigma was telling us what they had already known. And my objection on all that was misleading. We weren't involved in any decision-making process to begin with. And if we were, it appeared to me that all that report was pretty well, at least a preliminary report could have been published that contained a lot of the meat of that one, and could have been released rather than a pamphlet, which was quite misleading in another respect, that it only showed four sites, when in actual fact, a number more were considered. That's the way I see that anyhow. What should we do? I'd like to find out what people want. I'd like to find out what UConners want. I don't think we know. I know what I want, and it's no damn. Okay, so how many other people are in agreement with me? How many other people want to flood the Yukon? I'd like to see the issue be polarized. I'd like to see people talk about it, and I'd like to see perhaps some action groups formed amongst people when the issue becomes sufficiently polarized, which may be a little further on down the road, maybe at the end of stage two meetings when it's narrowed down to a specific site. We can focus our gun sights a little more. But, I mean, focus our sights. Throw you in the clip.
From the point of view of the wildlife resource, then, what is needed, I guess, is more than anything time, which is in such short supply, we all know. But in this, leaving that then, there really are two things which are essential. And one is this thing that I mentioned, I think we are just slightly naive about, and that is an assessment really of the values, the wildlife values that are going to be lost. And if we do get that assessment, and it is public information before this project goes ahead, which whatever the project is, it will be for the first time, and that would be wonderful. Just to have that. The second thing I would like to see is that a very real understanding developed about the value that UConners place on wildlife and wild land. I don't think we've even started to scratch the surface. And again, this is reiterating something that's already been said. It's a matter of asking the public where their priorities are. And that's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Thank you very much, David.
Mr. Chairman, am I, as a panel member, responding to Mr. Mooney's question or to the question of what should be done next?
I think really the question of what should be done next, and then you can respond to that.
I'm sorry, it just wasn't clear to me from the context. With respect to what should be done next, I think I will respond to Mr. Mooney's question as well.
Actually, you've already outlined what should be done next.
I feel that the question that you've asked is divergent from the tone of this meeting, and it is to some degree forcing a reaction on the part of the people on the panel,
and creating a polarization, or attempting to create a polarization, which really was not part of what was taking place here, as I understood what was going on. So that's why I'm stating my remarks as I am. As far as what goes on, I would assume that I don't feel any great sense. I'm not a member of Yukon Conservation Society, by the way, so once again, this is an opinion. But if a member of Yukon Conservation Society asked me for my advice with respect to their relationship to Sigma Resources as consultants, I think it would be fair that the information that has come out of these seminars should be summarized and should be generally available to whoever should want it. And that might or might not be Sigma, and presumably Sigma might have some responsibility to respond in it, and that perhaps the Conservation Society should establish a consultative relationship with the so-called consultants, but that they should avoid being forced into a demand to do this or do that in relation to the consultant's terms of reference. No way. They should respond in terms of their own needs and their own objectives. But certainly I would think it would be reasonable that a summary be produced from all of this, which would be background information to anyone who is interested. Secondly, I think in terms of specifics, I'm not sure at what point any citizens group in the Yukon can have any input into the decision-making process. But I do know that there is one point where we at least get to stand up and make some statements.